ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नारायणं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम सेकंड कैंटो चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 22। कालात् गुण व्यतिकरः परिणामः स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महतः पुरुषाधिष्ठानभूत्। कालात्, फ्रॉम इटर्नल टाइम, गुण व्यतिकरः, ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन ऑफ द मोड्स ऑफ रिएक्शन, परिणामः, ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन, स्वभावतः, फ्रॉम द नेचर, कर्मणः, ऑफ एक्टिविटीज, जन्म, क्रिएशन, महतः, ऑफ द महत तत्व, पुरुष आधिष्ठात, बिकॉज ऑफ द पुरुष इनकार्नेशन ऑफ द लॉर्ड, अभूत, it took place. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation: after the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karanarna Vashayi Vishnu, the Mahatattva or the principles of material creation take place, and then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Purport: by the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, the whole material creation evolves by the process of transformation and reactions one after another. And by the same omnipotency, they are wound up again, one after another, and conserved in the body of the Supreme. Kala, or time, is the synonym of nature, and is the transformed manifestations of the principles of material creation. As such, Kala may be taken as the first cause of all creation, and by transformation of nature, different activities of the material world become visible. These activities may be taken up as natural instinct of each and every living being, or even of the inert objects, and after the manifestation of activities, there are varieties of products and byproducts of the same nature. Originally, these are all due to the Supreme Lord. The Vedanta Sutras and the Bhagavatam thus begin with the absolute truth as the beginning of all creations. Janmadyasya yatah. Om Tatsat. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Jalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmayishi Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। अनतिकर है परिणाम स्वभावत है कर्मणो जन्म महत है पुरुषाधिष्ठात अभूत. Yesterday we discussed how the origin of all creation is Krishna. And today there is a further description of how is the creation done through the Purusha avataras. And the first one is Mahavishnu. Mahat Tattva is created by him. He is also known as Karnarnavashayi Vishnu. Karna Jala Vashayi, he lies down on that. So there are three types of Vishnu. Vishnu Stutrini Rupani Purushakhyani Atho Vidhu. Ekam Tu Mahatta Srishti. Dvitiyam Tu Andasamastam. Tritiyam Sarvabhutastam. Tyani Jnatva Vimuchyate. One who knows these three Vishnus will get liberated. And the first one is Karnarnavashayi Vishnu, who creates the Mahattattva, the first aspect of creation. Then the second one, into the universes that are created, Dvitiyam Tu Anda Samastam. He enters the Anda, the universal egg inside every universe, and he comes out as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu. Then the third one is Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, or the super soul in everybody's heart. Tritiyam Sarvabhutastam. He situates himself also as a super soul in everybody's heart. So this way the creation unfolds. Starting with Karnarnavashayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu, Mahattattva. So from Mahattattva, the principles of creation take place and then time is manifested. Kala, time, which is the moving force for everything in this world. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, Kalo Asmi, I am the time. Everything is actually Krishna. Krishna's energy is manifested. At the same time, it is not Krishna. That's explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It's Prabhupada explains that they are Krishna's energies unfolding from the subtle to the gross. And this way the creation is taking place. So yesterday we heard also a statement, though we didn't have time to look into it, but how all the living entities and the entire creation goes back into the Lord, comes out again, goes back, comes out again, and continuously this happens. In other words, creation is eternal. In other words, creation, annihilation is going on eternally and it doesn't stop. So that's an eternal function of the Purusha avataras. And how all the living entities, each time, it's mentioned elsewhere in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, that there is a calculation of what type of activity should take place. And that, how do we predict and how do we know what type of activity will take place? That depends again on the desires of all the living entities, which is again manifested by their false ego. And the first ingredient that comes out is false ego, one of the first ingredients. And everything is based on the false ego. The creation is not simply, you know, randomly done. It's very well calculated. In order to provide for the satisfaction, the material satisfaction, and the activity of all the living entities, there is a calculation of the sum total of the false ego of all the living entities. According to the sum total of the false ego of all the living entities, that particular creation happens. Right? Because the false ego, that's the motivation. And according to each false ego of each living entity, there will be activity. According to his desire, motivation, all coming from his false ego. So what is required in order to cater to the desires of all the living entities is calculated by the sum total of the false ego of all the living entities. And the creation automatically happens. What all material facility is required in terms of all the different things that come out? and what it should be of what quality, what degree. All that is calculated, and the material creation is made according to that. So each time the material creation would be different. It's not a standard product that comes out from a factory. Same, boom, same thing comes out. No, each time the creation differs. And in each place it differs. Each universe differs. And each Brahma is different. Everything is different. Everything is variegated according to the desires of the living entities. Although it is a prison, it's got variety. Right? According to what the each living entity requires to satisfy himself and correspondingly learn by meshing with material nature, banging with material nature, and then desiring certain things that are not within your purview and not within your jurisdiction, and then struggling to do that, then creating more karma, then enhancing your false ego, and then going back. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti. They come out, they go in. Then again, the sum total of all the false egos and the experiences and everything put together, another one created. So the material creation is not something random. It's not that nobody is looking into it. While we are in it, it looks pretty crazy. Right? Inside it, it looks pretty crazy. Many things you want don't happen. And looks like somebody else is controlling. And you're struggling against that control. It's true. But everything is going on perfectly as it's supposed to be. And your desires are being catered to. At the same time, you're being taught. So this whole machinery is so perfect. Because it is coming from Krishna. Janmadhyasya yataha anvayat itaratas charteshva vijna swarat. From that supremely independent person. This is manifested. It's not that nobody is in charge. It's not that everything is done at random. There's a perfect calculation of everything. And there is a tailor-made solution for everybody along as he comes along to manifest his activities. So this is the overview. And then time is manifested, and in course of time, three qualities appear. This is subtle. And then once time appears, activities get manifested. So what is that time? It's mentioned it is the glance of Vishnu. In the Upanishads it's mentioned, Sa Aikshata. He glances at material nature. Material nature is impregnated with living entities. Time starts, and then the three qualities, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, and then there is transformation, Parinama. Transformation according to the influence of the modes. So powerful is material nature. And if we trace back and study how it works, we can become very puny. We are. But the feeling of each living entity is he's the master. Internally, his false ego makes him think that he is the master. And he tries to gain a lordship over matter and manipulate matter within the time that is given to him. And in manipulation of matter is his rasa, his material rasa. And manipulating matter, gaining lordship over matter, that is his rasa. It's cheap stuff. But he's completely involved in it, and Krishna is providing for it. While actually Krishna is providing for top class rasa, bhakti rasa, the living entity is desired to have this, and Krishna has made this elaborate arrangement for you to enjoy material rasa. And he is describing it. Shukadeva Goswami is describing how it unfolds. And while he is enjoying the material rasa through his false ego, in total forgetfulness of Krishna. That's very important. He has to forget who he is and who Krishna is. Then only he can become illusioned. And then only he can enjoy material rasa. So-called enjoyment. Right? And he is forced to perform for that. And he thinks he is a performer. There's another thing. He thinks he is a performer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunaikarmani sarvashah. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. I am the doer he is made to think. That's where he gets the material rasa. But actually even he is not doing. Bhagavad Gita is saying, na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srajati prabhu. He neither does, neither does he motivate anything. Na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srajati prabhu means the prabhu of this body. Swabhavastu pravartate. It simply happens according to his swabhava. Swabhava means your acquired nature. That's what is being spoken about. Nature according to the three modes. He is forced to act because of the influence of the three modes. And he has to cooperate and act and do what he is supposed to do to keep up the whole material machinery functioning. But he thinks he is doing it. Prakriti kriyamani gune karmani sarvasha. He thinks he is doing it, but material energy forces him to work. That's described also in the Bhagavad Gita very nicely. As soon as he desires to be separated from the absolute truth, Krishna, and be on his own to gain lordship over matter, the material nature grabs him. Krishna bhuliya bhogavancha gare. Forgetting Krishna, it desires to enjoy matter. Jabatiya maya dare. Fatak. He's caught by maya under the three modes. And then there he is made to think. He forgets himself, forgets Krishna. And he is made to think he is a doer. Or rather he thinks he is a doer. And material ingredients are provided. And he is forced to work. You see. Sattva rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhavaha. Nibhannanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining. He gets conditioned by the three modes. And under each of the modes, he is forced to perform. He acts. And the mode that actually makes him perform is rajasic mode. That's what is predominant. In the material energy, in the creation, everything rajasic mode is very predominant. And so he starts acting. Activity takes place. Time forces you to act. We are constantly under the influence of time. We should understand what it means. There is a subtle force pushing us all the time. And to remind us, we have these watches with us also. We keep looking, I keep pushing you to act. It's 7 o'clock. Get up. It's 7:45. Get to the office. Do this, do that. You have a to-do list. You tick off and you feel very successful working for Maya. I did that for you. Joy. I did this for you. And actually you're being moved. The time is ticking. And life is going. Time is going. And you're racing. And all the time you're working. The addiction is to work. And the price is a little material rasa, lordship over matter. And this way material nature fools you and runs her civilization based on your contribution. You are the one contributing to make things run. But the opposite of that is that activity only for Krishna. Karma, akarma, vikarma, you must have heard about that. Activity only for Krishna. So we eke out that activity a little bit on the side, initially. We find a little time to do something that is not meant for me, only for Krishna. Idam Krishnaya idam na mama. This is for Krishna, this is not for me, is the yajna chanting. Idam Krishnaya idam na mama swaha. It is for not for me. That type of yajnyattat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana. To find time to do that is difficult. So absorbed we become in material activity, in material nature, by the force of the modes of material nature. And that activity is glorified in the material world. Right from Nobel Prize to the simple certificates and awards you have to give to people to motivate them to perform. And material nature gives those awards and certificates to you. And sometimes I say, recently I was one of the congregation devotees who has been on and off, chanting sometimes, not chanting sometimes. And his father comes and tells me, can you advise him, counsel him. Father doesn't chant so much, but he wants to utilize the Hare Krishna moment to get counseling for his son so that he can perform nicely materially. And a little bit, he says, listen to them. Chanting can only do a little bit. Otherwise, we'll not get their association. So, he comes around. And the son came and told, showed me, see, they gave me a certificate. Best performance. It's just some small chota position he has got. They've given him a certificate. And he doesn't have a permanent job too. He's on like a probation. You know, they keep you for some time. And in India, in some of the, like, they don't give you a permanent employment because then you'll ask for that right, this right. And then as per legalities, you have to be provided provident fund, gratuity, this, everything. So they keep the guy floating 6 months and renew it again and again and again. Some people are eternally employed like that. Foolishly. They don't get any benefit because the job market is served. So this guy is something like that. And he's coming and showing the certificate to me. And I said, you're not a permanent employee. Why did they give you the certificate of recognition? He's not thinking about all that. He said, I got this. And then I you know, feel very enthused. And so I said, yes, so you're working extra? He said, yes. Just a little certificate. And they get you to work more. For no money. He's willing to work. Why? Because that recognition. I got the recognition. I work more for my company. My company is everything for me. Work is worship. Blah, blah, blah. So he's in that mode. So this work is such an addiction for people in this world. That gives them value. That gives them some position. That gives them that I am something in this world. I do something. What do? I contribute to the material civilization. I contribute to Maya. I contribute to my company. I am no ordinary guy. I do this. See, Prabhupada calls it muda, donkey. In the Bhagavad Gita, he describes, he gives one whole two paragraphs on what's the meaning of a donkey who simply works without getting the result that is due to him. So this way, material energy makes a fool of us through the modes of material nature. And then we work. Everybody is into work. I want to do something and enjoy the fruit of it. But actually they're losing. Material nature and the way it's created, it is meant to entrap us in total forgetfulness. But the devotee of the Lord, he knows this is what's happening to me. And he doesn't resist that externally because that's needed. He utilizes it for my body. For function, for roti, kapda, makan, like they say in Hindi. For my shelter, for my food and everything. I need to do a little bit of that. It's not that it's completely wrong and I wipe it off. I can't exist in the material realm. So he makes a very interesting balance. An educated balance. So he operates within that. But at the same time, he utilizes his activity in the service of the Lord. This is what is devotional service. That's why it's an art to perform service for Krishna inside the material world while you're conditioned by the modes of material nature. It's an art. Prabhupada says the art of focusing one's attention on Krishna is called Krishna consciousness. That's his definition. How we can learn to, within the situation, of forgetfulness and conditioning by the modes, offer our service to Krishna. It's against the grain. It's not actually normal for people to be doing service voluntarily for Krishna. So, but understanding that this is the purpose of life and understanding material nature and its powerful control, a devotee actually learns to surrender to Krishna. Mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Actually, Krishna is the controller. It's mentioned here in the purport, Prabhupada is saying. Originally, these are all due to the Supreme Lord. Krishna's energy, his inferior energy, under that we operate and we perform these activities. It's very bewildering for us to understand sometimes what is action, what is inaction. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Kim karameti kim akarameti kavayo apyatra mohita tatte aham pravakshyami yajnyatva mokshayate ashubhat. Ashubha means there's an inauspicious situation you'll be cleared from. What to do, what not to do, even the most learned people are confused. Right? So we are all into performing activity, but learning how to perform, what to do and what not to do, that is yoga. We have many things to do at any point of time. But to not be performing under the material nature, but to utilize material nature for the service of the Lord, that's an art. That's what we have to learn from Guru. It's not that we blindly just mechanically perform. We learn these things, how material nature is operating, how it is created. Then we operate in such a way that we are able to get the mercy of the Lord. That is the greatness of Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's contribution. He didn't reject anything. Quite contrary to all the previous so-called personalities who spoke about renunciation like this, this, that, everything. Prabhupada gave us all this information about how creation occurs and how the modes operate, everything. Then he explained to us an amazing way of staying in the material world, utilizing everything for Krishna, just changing our consciousness. Internally, if we offer everything to Krishna, yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam arpanam, offering everything to the Lord, we can offer our material situation completely to the Lord by making our intention devotional service within that situation. That is an art. That's Krishna consciousness. That's why you need Guru. You can't do this on your own. Very tricky. You get stuck. So Prabhupada taught that art. Yukta Vairagya. Lord Chaitanya also, he came and preached that. How to be in the material world and not be of it. So this is what a devotee intelligently does under the direction of Guru. And therefore he gets to know how creation occurs, how the material modes operate, what is activity, how activity is propelled by material nature, and how I should perform within that realm in such a way that I will not get entangled. Such a way that I shall not get entangled. That's why hearing about creation is very interesting. So that we know what is what, how things are happening. And within that, Krishna is operating also. He is satisfying the desires of various living entities according to what all material rasa they have. To each one, it's a tailor-made program. From within the heart of each living entity, Krishna is utilizing the material manifestation to give him specifically those things that he desires, and to teach him specifically by not giving him certain things which he desires, because it is not within his purview. In so many nice, wonderful ways, Krishna is teaching the living entity. Even in devotional service, a devotee, as he performs devotional service and he offers it to Krishna, he also gets reciprocation from Krishna. If you become conscious, aware of it from moment to moment, then as we become more and more Krishna conscious, we can see how the material nature is functioning under the direction of Krishna and how we are able to render devotional service to Krishna by Krishna's arrangement. We can only plan, organize and start executing it. But many things can happen, cannot happen. We're speaking about activity, so therefore, many things can happen, cannot happen. It according to the sanction of the Lord. There again, Krishna is involved very deeply. It's not to think that everything that happens in the material world, Krishna is not involved. He's involved in everything. You see, yoga kshemam vahami aham. Everything that's happening is happening under the control of the Lord. This is how activity is controlled. And when we desire to do seva for Krishna, genuinely, sincerely, that will happen by Krishna's sanction. When it comes to service to the Lord, sometimes we may think, after all, it is service, it must happen. It's not for me. It's devotional service. So it must happen this way, I've planned it this way. But many times when devotional service also won't happen exactly like what you planned. It may happen better than what you planned. Mostly. Right? So because of our conditioning, we think it should happen exactly like we planned. I'm after all doing it for Krishna. I organize, I plan, and boom. It happens even better. It happens even better. Or it does not happen at all. You simply have to continue doing it. Again and again. Because it's for the pleasure of Krishna. Because it's for the pleasure of Krishna. So you can see that when Arjuna is offering himself to Krishna, many things happen to Arjuna on the battlefield. It's not that he is depending only on his ability to perform. I can produce activity, I have ability to perform. Right? But only if Krishna utilizes in his service, it becomes devotional service. Otherwise your capability simply remains dormant. Or you can act on the material world, on matter, and get some material glory for yourself. But if you want to serve Krishna, then the activity is under the domain of Krishna consciousness. You see, according to the desire of Krishna, carried out by previous acharyas, just like Prabhupada, he didn't desire to do something different from what his guru wanted. Or what from previous acharyas wanted. He simply carried out. He was a very capable person, even materially. But he didn't have his own program. He just completely followed the program of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all the previous acharyas and made an effort to make it come through. And amazingly, he knew exactly what was wanted. And then he endeavored and he predicted it will happen. Was so sure that it will happen. It's very difficult to normally say that. But Prabhupada said, it will happen. It's going to happen that way. And he was aligning himself to do that. He had a separate idea how to perform the Harinam revolution. He had exactly a plan according to what the previous acharyas had mentioned. And he was executing that. And it was happening. It was not his idea. It was idea from all the previous acharyas. What they wanted, he knew the pulse. And he was executing that. Therefore he said, this is going to happen. So to some railway conductor he was speaking, I can see books, I can see temples, I can see devotees. Much, much before. Because he saw it. It's going to happen. And he was telling, when he was asked, see, Lord Chaitanya said, Prithviti, Ache, Jata, Nagaradi, Gram, every town and village, the Harinam will be spread. And he was asked, why is it that he didn't do it himself in every town and village? Then Prabhupada turned round and starry eyed, he looked and said, because he wanted me to do it. He dug his cane into the ground and said, because I am the one supposed to do it. He's doing it through me. He knew. He knew it's going to happen and I'm going to do it. And all these devotees who follow me as followers, they will all do it. This is an activity completely against the material flow. But it's going to happen. So here in Melbourne, you may be preaching. You may be going to each devotee, giving a book. And it may be a turning point in his entire life in the material world. You're turning him around. Giving him this book of Prabhupada, explosive stuff, and giving him chanting, and then boom, he changes. This activity, completely against this material flow, is happening by the will of Krishna, by the will of Prabhupada. Who does that, you become instrumental in performing that type of activity. That's why it's a karma. It is not ordinary activity. It's not conditional activity. But we got a chance to do that. We got a chance to get involved in that. Because Prabhupada is engaging us and we are willing. So don't have a separate activity. Don't have a different idea in what you should do. But simply following what Prabhupada wanted us to do, it happens. Those things are going to happen. So that's why it's a little foolish to do something else separate or imitate this and try to get lordship through that. Within the spiritual activity prescribed by Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, we can manufacture and manifest our lordship. We should be careful, because conditioned souls would do that. They are very much, you know, prone to do that activity, to possess the activity, possess the material rasa that comes from that. So if we try to do that again, we will fail. We will fail again. So therefore, activity, according to previous acharyas, according to the acharya, when we align ourselves and do, then we are taking part in Krishna's pastime. Because we will be transcendentally oriented when we do that. And we may not be able to sometimes use all our ability. We may be able to use our ability. Sometimes we may not have ability and still do that. Just become instrument of Krishna. You see. So a devotee does not depend on a material dravya alone for doing devotion service. He becomes an instrument in the hand of the Lord. And then so many things can be done through him. Krishna is not going to say, oh, you're not capable, you have not done your PhD in this, so you have not done engineering, you have not done this and that, so I can't use you for this devotion service. We have never heard that. We have never heard that. All sorts of people who don't have any capability turn out to be the best persons to do that service. And somebody who may have a great qualification materially may not be doing that service at all. So, activity and consideration for activity changes. It is not necessary that this dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. I will give you intelligence to do it. The necessary intelligence to do that. See, this was Prabhupada's confidence when he sent devotees all over the world and said, go and preach, Krishna will give you the intelligence to do it. He had full faith in these things. And he sent devotees all over the world, just go, just do Harinam, just you distribute my books, start talking these things. And they did it. And many things happened. Amazing things happened. This is activity. Governed by Krishna. Sometimes we don't know what Krishna is doing. We don't need to know. We just become engaged. So, material activity, conditioned souls are naturally prone to do that. And they fall into it. But we have the great fortune of doing something which is completely different. And so our activity is not according to the material flow. It's according to the desire of Krishna, according to the desire of the pure devotee of the Lord. So many things happen which we have no control over and which we are instrumental in doing. I have a small story to say, but it's already 8:15. Should I take 5 minutes to do it?
Yes.
5-10 minutes is okay? Is it okay?
Yes.
Prasadam is at what time?
After the
story. No, what's it? What's it? Scheduled time. We're speaking about creation and material life. Scheduled time. 8:30. So we can eat off a little bit of the 15 minutes break. I'm coming from, I preach in South India, and so there's a famous temple in Kerala of Guruvayur Appan Krishna. Supposed to be the deity of Krishna, which was worshipped by Vasudeva and Devaki. And previously in their incarnation as Prishni and Sutapa and Kashyapa and Diti. In all those three lifetimes, when they wanted Krishna as their son, they worshipped this deity. And this deity came floating in the waters after Dwaraka went in under the sea, and Guru and Vayu, Brihaspati and Vayu brought it to South India under the direction of Narada Muni, and then Lord Shiva offered a place where he was meditating in this place. So the deity was installed there. So this is a famous story. There are many stories. I want to relate this. It's got some relationship with this. Just instantly I remembered. The deity of the Lord got a lot of devotees. Many persons are completely dedicated to Lord Guru Ayurappan, Krishna. There's one story about a simple devotee who sort of was useless, not very capable in the material world, couldn't maintain his family properly, and his wife was always, you know, yelling at him and saying that you're incapable, you don't earn any money, and we have two kids, what'll happen to them? He's a simple man, he just couldn't take the responsibility, how to do it. He's not able to earn money. So he would go and hide in the temple every day. He would say, I'm going home, I'm going out to get a job, and he would run away to the temple and hang around in the temple, what to do. And then he'd do all sorts of miscellaneous jobs for people. I'll get you prasadam, I'll, you know, put you in the queue, I will help you with the luggage, I'll tell you, catch a bus, I'll tell you where to go for, get a taxi. All sorts of things he was doing, and then getting some bakshish from them. And then in this way, he'll go back home and say, today this is the money, like that. Then she'll ask, which job you got, what? He said, don't worry about all that. I'll manage the house. But actually, he was not able to do it. So every day he would go in front of the, he's a great devotee. So he would go in front of the Lord and say, please help me today, somehow or the other. I want to retain my impression as a head of the family and as a person capable of doing things. I'm simply depending on you. It's a simple devotee. So every day the Lord would arrange something. Who would take some prasadam home and go. And in this way he was managing, but his wife was suspicious. I think you don't have a job. I'm feeling insecure. And you know, she made out, and she kept on telling him, once in a while, once in a month, once in 2 months, you tell him, please tell me what's the future. What's going to happen, because her daughter is growing up and she has to get married. You know, a traditional family, they're concerned about all these things. At the same time, in another place, another devotee, very rich Brahmin. The Kerala Brahmins are called Nambudris. They have a shikha like this coming in the front. The shikha, forward-looking shikha, not a backward shikha. So they had one of those shikhas, and he is a Nambudri. So he has money from a rich heritage. But it was a stingy guy. Stingy guy. He would speak about worshipping the Lord. He knows the scripture and everything. But he would not give money to anybody. Not even to the Lord so easily. But he was afflicted by a severe disease, a rheumatic disease. And he was not able to move. It became so bad that he was not able to move. Then he went to the astrologer. He went to all these good people. And they said, you see, you should take a sankalpa and worship the Lord Guru Ayurappan, Krishna, and you should make a sankalpa and offer him something. They knew this guy is a stingy fellow. So they said, why don't you make an offering? Make some sankalpa. So he thought about it a lot. It's a very calculative guy. Then the doctors also told him that we will give you this treatment, massage you with oil every day. And this also. So every day he was going through that. Then he said, this is the trick, 1 month for you to some result. Then the astrologer also said, if you make the sankalpa for 1 month, something will happen. So he calculated everything together and said, okay, every day I put 1 rupee in a small hundi. At the end of 1 month, I will take it and offer it to the Lord. And that's the time they said that I become all right. The doctor says so, and the astrologer says so, should do a sankalpa. I'll join all these together, made a nice calculation, said, in installments I will give. I'll not give the whole thing. I'll see gradually the improvement. If it is not coming, I'll stop. If the improvement is not coming through, I'll stop. So very calculative guy. Business. So he gave every day 1 rupee and collected it in a small bag. Every day he would think about the Lord, my health is so bad, everything I surrender to you, I give you this 1 rupee. Put it in a bag and collected it. Then every day he was getting this massage in the sun, and slowly things were happening to him. And here, getting back to this guy, he was going around and the time came for his daughter to get married. So his wife was telling him, listen, become a responsible guy. It's time to get our daughter married. Can you go get some money? Can you get something done? Because we got to fix a marriage. So this became an added thing on his head. My gosh, it's really heavy stuff coming. I was eking out a living just like that here and there. But now it's heavy. So he went to the Lord and said, my gosh, there's some big thing coming on my way. It's only you who can arrange some money for me to get my daughter married. What will happen to me? Society, what they will talk about me. And they're all, my wife always thinks they're a two-bit useless guy. You know, just good for nothing. And that thing weighs on me. Plus the fact that I don't have a job. And plus now this whole thing about my daughter's marriage has come up. I was very worried. Completely tensed. In the tense every day he was thinking about it and praying to the Lord. One fine day in the night, the Lord came in his dream. And told him, my dear devotee, you are my devotee. Why you feel like this? I will give you whatever is necessary to get your daughter married. I have planned already the money for you. On so and so day, there will be a Nambudri who will come with a sack of money to give me. That's yours. You can take it from him. And he described to him in the dream that he will be coming on so and so day. 30 days will pass for that guy. And he will be coming on so and so day and he will take his bath in the pond before he comes to me. And that time he will take his massage in the open in the sunshine. And he always keeps it bag with him. He doesn't trust anybody. You just bend low and take that and go. That's for you. That's for you. He got up from the dream and said, my gosh, I'm going crazy. How can the Lord advise me to steal? I'm sure he won't advise me to steal. It's me thinking like this. I'm connecting up the Lord and stealing and money requirement and everything because something crazy is happening to me. And he was very worried. He went, ran into the temple again and said, I dreamt this. This cannot be true. I think I'm going crazy. Because how can you advise me to steal? It's morally and ethically wrong. So he was very worried. And that night he went to sleep again. The Lord came and says, not, I am the one telling you, you take it. He came in the dream again and said, It's not ordinary instruction I'm giving you. I am telling you, take it, it's for you. But he got up even more confused. My gosh, now I'm going to steal. And if I get caught, what will people say about me? Just make out, you know, simple guy. That Nambudri got ready. 1 month is getting over. So he was brought in a palanquin by all his servants. He's a big man and he can't walk. He's got rheumatoid arthritis or whatever it is. And he was brought to the temple. And that opportune moment on that day, he was exactly lying down. Krishna predicted everything to this one. Who was sitting here? I know him. He's my devotee. That Nambudri, that Brahmana also, Krishna is very dear to him. He is dear to Krishna. So he will come like this. So this guy, the simple guy, he went, I hope it is not true. I hope all these things are not true and I don't have to steal. So he looked over the wall at the right time during sunshine. He saw that person sleeping there, lying down, and these people massaging him. He said, oh my gosh, it's true. I have to do this. So he, you know, prayed to the Lord and mustered all the strength he could. And then he climbed down the stairs and he kept chanting the name of the Lord. And then he walked past him and bent low and took his bag and ran. And as soon as he took his bag, this guy is super conscious of his bag and the money that he has gathered for a month. 30 rupees in it. Those days, 30 rupees is a lot of money. 30 rupees in it. As soon as he knew that, he turned around and said, catch him. Hold him. He's taking all my stuff. And then everybody is looking at what is he pointing at. Then nobody is running. So he got up. He ran behind him. He's a rheumatoid arthritis. He ran behind that guy because his motivation was so much my possession, my stuff. He ran behind him. And then this guy, he looked around because that guy is a paralyzed guy. He won't wake up, he thought. He saw him running with his gamcha and his oil all over his body running behind him. And then he said, oh my gosh, finish. And then he went into the temple. He ran into the temple and said, my Lord, you asked me to do this. I've done it. This guy is chasing me. So they went round and round the temple. Pradakshina, Yani Kani, Chapapani. They did. He went round the temple. And this guy was chasing him. Catch him. He's got my money. And big darshan going on. Everybody is watching. What's happening? And this Nambudri is running with his gamcha, half falling off. And he's because his money is gone.
And he's running around, and this guy is running, help me, God, Lord, and everything. And then finally, this Nambudri couldn't take it. He's an elderly man. He went in front of the Lord and said, too bad, you can't do this to me. I saved all the money for you, and I did all these things for you, but how can he take it away from me? He can't run anymore. So he went in front of the Lord and started screaming. Boom, a voice came out of the altar. My dear devotee, my dear Brahmana, what is wrong with that? Then he said, what is wrong? It's my money. I brought it for you. Then he said, see, look at you. What did you want? You wanted to cure yourself of your disease. You're running. Only then he could look at himself. Oh my gosh, I've been running. I'm completely cured. So that's what he wanted. So you got it. He needs some money for his daughter's wedding. After all, you're going to offer it to me. I offered it to him. So this way, the Lord came out and told him, your activity, fine, accept it. This is what you want, you get that. He wants that, he gets that. There's no moral and ethical stuff going wrong here. Because I am involved. Both of you are my devotees. I just thought of this as an example of how in devotional service, Krishna knows how to merge this very well with an ordinary affairs. And he satisfies many different people. And many different activities he can amazingly put together. It may seem contradictory, but Krishna has the capacity to do that because he is the controller. He is the person, unknown hand, unseen hand, operating everything and having everything happen. So material activity and spiritual activity, if it is offered to Krishna sincerely, it takes a completely different meaning. And that's why it's an art. If you perform under the direction of Guru, then we will not get entangled and we will be successful. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande. Sorry for taking off the extra time from you.